Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney, let's do it. Coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. And, of course, Sirius XM 206. The madness is underway. We've got the ACC tournament going on. Obviously, the lower seeds are trying to live to find another day. Five automatic bids tonight. Obviously, things sit full swing middle of the week. So, the hoops is hot. Le'Veon Bell, no decision yet. Anthony Barr reneging. Mm. What up, TK? How you doing today, buddy?
Good.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, that happened as well. We're watching some bad ACC basketball right now. Notre Dame against Georgia Tech. Just can't get the ball in the hoop, but that is what it is.
These are the games you bet.
Teams, exactly.
Otherwise, you don't really watch them.
Teams go through ebbs and flows of goodness.
Yep.
Let's put it that way.
Hey, Mike Bray's earned one down year.
No doubt.
He's been terrific for the Irish. So, Georgia Tech, they've had a lot of down years. They're not in quite the same company as Notre Dame here. But, all right, Teak, so we have a real problem in the NBA now. This can no longer be ignored. Quite frankly, it is mostly specific to Russell Westbrook in terms of the tensions being that palpable, that emotion spilling out, that evidently, if you will. Last night was ugly. There's a lot of things to piece together. Let's play some stuff for you, and then obviously you and I will start unpacking this here. So the incident, just the quick summation, second quarter, middle of the second quarter-ish, at the end or somewhere in the vicinity of the end of the, I say that because they don't really know when it actually started. Westbrook was icing up, mm-hmm. or actually heating up, as he clarified a bit later. Utah, which has been saddled with, and I think a rightfully so earned reputation, as notoriously tough and below board, in some instances, you know, just disrespectful.
Agreed.
Kind of tone there. So we don't have the first part, and this is obviously a big part of the puzzle. We do have Westbrook firing back to what was said to him or what was allegedly said to him. Here's Russell Westbrook on that. All right, well, if there's one thing we know about Russell Westbrook, he's not playing.
No.
He's not a playful kind of person.
Look, he's a little bit of a loose cannon. That's kind of what makes him good at what he does on the basketball court. And, look, this happens. I told you, I was at the Pacers game, Pacers 76ers game, and Wesley Matthews, who is he's just an interesting character for the Pacers, the entire game, he's like, he's got this bandana on, he's got the little fro on. Uh-huh. He's just engaging with the fans, talking trash. One guy had an Allen Iverson jersey on. He's like, get off Allen Iverson, you know, just engaging. It happens at NBA basketball games. You engage with those fans that are sitting close. Now, we don't know how this engagement with Russell Westbrook started, because I've seen in subsequently interviews with the fan who he was talking with, and the fan was kind of
Shane Keisel is his name, by the way.
But Shane was like playing it down,
and uh-huh. you know, they interviewed
hey,
him.
We're just kind of chatting, and you know, and just I was just talking about his knees or whatever it may have been, and mm-hmm. because he was icing them up or heating them up, and then it got out of hand. We don't know exactly what was said, but it was egregious enough for Russell Westbrook to be really affronted and angry. And
we think it was egregious enough.
I'm assuming that it had to have been something either egregious or he misinterpreted it.
Possible.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, true. True. Possible.
And look, because of the world that we live in, you can go look at social media
mm-hmm.
and you go look at the history of Shane Keisel on social media. It's not very you know, becoming.
That's repulsive.
It's absolutely repulsive. The civility that is supposed to exist in this country doesn't exist anymore on social media. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he brought that opinion, those opinions to this engagement with Russell Westbrook. But if he did, it informs me a lot why Russell Westbrook reacted the way they did. Now, again, I don't know that that happened. I do know that he said something about getting on his knees, and that threw Russell Westbrook into a tizzy. Now, the NBA has to figure out how to address this. I don't know if there's an easy solution, because there is just, it's easy proximity to the players, right? In a football stadium, you could be, Eagles fans used to cuss me out like you would not believe, saying the craziest things. I didn't hear it.
It's kind of muffled down.
You don't hear
it's almost
it.
Like the background ambiance. I hear
you. Can, you can have you could almost have a bullhorn, and you still wouldn't hear it at a football stadium. In a basketball arena, somebody sitting 15 or 20 or 30 rows up could say something in a quiet moment or
no question.
Getting ready to shoot a free throw, and you hear it clear as day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so the engagement is going to happen. How the NBA polices this is to be determined. Now, it's easy to just say, well, fine Russell Westbrook, or, you know, suspend him or whatever it may have been, but that's not going to solve the issue. It's not going to solve this heightened nonsense that is existing in basketball arenas across the country, not just in the NBA, but just in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to solve it. There isn't an answer to this other than increased civility, which is not going to easily occur, especially with alcohol and everything else involved.
That's a good point. You know, the commissioner can't implement something that forces people to be cordial.
Exactly.
I mean the non-players.
I agree.
Even the players, he can't force them to be cordial. What was allegedly said about the reference of the knees? To me, you got to educate me on this. I mean, I always thought it had a sexual connotation. I didn't extrapolate anything racist about that. Did you?
Not. It depends on how you take it.
I thought it was a homophobic statement.
That's what I thought he was doing. I thought it was too, but when Russ explains it a different way, I can understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because it's all interpretation.
But I don't know if I can understand it enough when he includes the guy's wife. This is where it goes to a different area.
It's never okay. I don't care who you are, what's going on, to threaten a woman. I think his reasoning was that the wife was repeating what her husband was saying.
That's what he said post-game, which we also have. A little lengthy. Got to play this. Here's Russ on what Teak was just alluding to. He's exactly what he said after the game.
How it started was a young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate in a sense of there's no protection for the players. I think there are a lot of great fans around the world that like to come to the game and enjoy the game. There are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. For many years, man, I've done all the right things. I've never done anything to hurt or harm anybody. I've never been in any trouble. Never fought a fan. Been in the league 11 years. Clean slate. Humble. I take whatever, all the criticism from everybody. I've been doing the same thing for years. For me, I'm just not going to continue to take the disrespect from my family. I just think that there's got to be something done. There's got to be some consequences for those type of people that come to the game just to say and do whatever they want to say. I don't think it's fair to the players. And if I had to do it over again, I would say the same exact thing, because I truly will stand up for myself, for my family, for my kids, for my wife, for my mom, for my dad every single time. I expect anybody else to do the same. As for beating up his wife, I've never put my hand on a woman. I never will. Never been in any domestic violence before, never had before. But once he said the comment, his wife repeated it, the same thing to me as well. So that's kind of how that started. I know you guys only got the tail end of the video, but the start of the video is way more important and way more disrespectful than what you guys heard. So appreciate y'all.
Okay. Pretty detailed explanation. You know, the one thing that... He's involved in this a lot. He is. And no fan should ever have a license to say anything, you know, sexual connotation, race connotation, anything.
Agreed.
Outside of, you know, you're a bum.
Yeah.
You know, you're not worth $30 million, whatever the price. I mean, that's fair game. No player should have to absorb that. So I'm totally with Russ on this. However, we're not talking about any other player as much as we are about Russell Westbrook with this stuff.
Look, a lot of this, BT, is because Russell Westbrook is just an emotional player, and he's an emotional person. You see it in how he plays, right? Just on the court.
Yep.
Right? There's just this energy, it's like
a tenseness.
Yeah, there's
no question about it.
No matter what whether he's driving in for a layup, mm-hmm. he just starts pounding the ball really fast, and he's, you know what I mean? And so it takes over. You can clearly tell that's who he is,
mm-hmm.
right? It's what makes him good as a player, but that's his personality. There's a calmness about him, but when the switch is flipped,
yep.
it becomes like violent mm-hmm. really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything can set a guy like that off. You've known guys like that. Mm-hmm. I've known guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the littlest thing can set him off, and I think that's what happened. I don't know if it was frustration of what was happening. I didn't watch this game last night. So I don't know if it was frustration of what was happening at the time in the game, or maybe this was a dialogue that had been going on for the entirety of the game, which is likely the case. And then it just took a turn that just didn't sit well with them. But what do you do, right? Who is this on? Is this on Russ? Is it on the fan? Like, what do you do here? There's not much you can
there's
do.
There's not an easy solution, Teak.
There's not much you can do here.
No, there's not. I do think one thing we're starting to see now, and I don't know if there's a great correlation here, but I want to get into this coming up here on the show, and I want to throw this to people out there. Obviously, we consume sports. We talk about it every day. We watch the games. You as our listeners, you go to the games. Last night, was that just another example? I'm going to post it this way, and Teak and I will answer this coming up, obviously. Is this another example of fans, you know, just completely ignoring the civility aspect that Tiki referenced before? Or is this another example of the players being too sensitive? We've seen Kyrie Irving. We've seen Kevin Durant. We've seen the social media age, this uber awareness of what's being said. Maybe the answer lies somewhere in between, to be fair. With most things, it probably does. But let's get some calls, see what you think. 855-212-4227. And also, if you're Adam Silver, what would you do? I mean, does this call for complete arena reform in terms of the access and the accessibility to the players? I know it's money. Every time this comes up, we say, well, they're not going to rip out $50,000 or $100,000 or $300,000 worth of courtside seats every game. Well, you know, that sounds good. But when they have a $50 million lawsuit, when the player jumps to the stands and basically kills somebody, mm-hmm. which could happen at some point, you might be happy swallowing the couple of $100,000 so as a proactive move. It's messy. You know, I don't really have an answer for you. I think we're as confused as you are.
I agree.
But this needs to be solved at some point soon.
And by the way, I can't give Russell Westbrook any kudos for never putting his hands on a fan in all the years he's been in the NBA. Come on.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's – I hear you. I know.
Yeah.
Okay, 1-855-212-4227. We'll get your calls. Lev Bell yet to sign. Somebody reneged. And speaking of reform – I think the NFL's got to tweak something about this 2-day window here, and not just because my team got burned. I'm okay with that, actually, but I think they need to fix something. I think I have a solution for them. So the Russ calls, Utah last night, messy. We'll get your reaction coming up here on Tiki and Tierney.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, you want to find the best person for the job. Odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn makes it easy to match with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. LinkedIn uses knowledge of both hard and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. They're based on skills and background, interest, activities, and passions. And so you get a group of the most relevant qualified candidates for your role. That way you can focus on the candidates you want to spend time talking to and make a quality hire that you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. Post a job today at linkedin.com/tiki. That's linkedin.com/TIKI and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/tiki.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Geico.com. Go there, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206 will fire in these calls a little bit. Obviously, our eyes are attacking Twitter every second. We've got our staff seeing what's happening with Le'Veon Bell and the other big-name remaining free agents. We'll certainly get to that coming up top of the hour. Next hour, inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Let me say this about the, you know, put quotes around this word, because based on what I saw on a social media account, he's not a gentleman. But this gentleman, Shane Keisel, or Keisel, who 44 years old from Utah, goes to the games a lot. Based on what, now there's some theories that there's some manufactured, that these screenshots aren't real. I don't know. Who the hell knows?
I don't know.
I'm going to assume for a moment that before he was able to scrub his social media account, what was there was real, which is heinous. And when I read what he wrote, I get the impression, maybe it's not justified, but I get the impression when I think of somebody like Shane Keisel or Shane Keisel, who would write that stuff, let alone say that stuff, as somebody who has no interaction with the rest of civilization, who lives in some remote outpost of our country and maybe is like the only cabin within a 300-mile radius because he can't possibly interact with people and write that stuff and think that and think it's okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, how do you think that that's okay?
But also, it's part social media, BT. People feel like they can put anything
still
on social media and nobody's going to care.
That's what I agree.
Evidently,
you're right.
It's
for some idiots,
believe.
I guess.
It's
but
hard to believe.
2019, people still think that?
I did my sports minute on this, BT, and I said, look, there used to be repercussion for being an idiot. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like there is anymore.
Oh, no, I think he's going to get fired. I believe I saw that. I just stopped reading. It was so dumb and so pathetic. I believe he worked for Toyota, and now people started adding Toyota.
Wow.
This guy's on your payroll.
Wow.
Do you want to employ a racist? That's where the court of public opinion really becomes the court of determination.
I hear you.
In a lot of ways. And if that's the case, and he wrote that, then rightfully so.
Agreed.
But I will say this, and I do think this, in the instance of fairness, right? Just because somebody allegedly tweeted racist stuff, and I believe that he did, mm-hmm. no doubt about it, doesn't mean that he necessarily said something racist last
night.
And if he didn't.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? If he didn't, then I think Russell Westbrook has to get suspended. You cannot threaten a man and his wife if it was just get down on your knees and perform an act on me. Basically, is what he was saying.
So then are you not punishing these fans?
Oh, no,
saying,
he's revoked. Gone. You never come to the arena again. 100%.
Look, they're both.
That clown can't go to the game anymore.
But here's the problem, BT. Like, whenever there's things like this happening, whether it was the kid, when was that? Was that last week?
That was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
That was in
the
Denver.
Kid 2 weeks ago, you kind of feel like you want to, I don't know, like, pick a side. Right, the kid was okay, or Russell Westbrook was okay for doing it. The kid was okay. No, you can't pick a side here because they're both dead wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so whatever you say should happen to Russ,
mm-hmm.
I'll agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you say should happen to that this fan and his wife, I would agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Civility has to return at some point, especially in sports, man.
Yeah.
It's a game, right? What are we talking about?
And it's really the most unifying thing. Think about
should
what
be.
It should be.
Yes.
Think one of the things, like when we first, not that this is all about race, although it seems like a lot of it is clearly.
It always seems to get thrown in.
It does.
And I don't
know
if that was the case here.
I hope not, but yeah, I don't know what this man's intentions
were. Whoever was sitting around, I'm sure whoever was sitting around them.
Yep.
Because it's not like if I'm yelling at you at a basketball game, I'm the player.
Mm-hmm.
There's 30 people that are hearing this interaction.
But this is the one thing to certainly defend the players here. The notorious reputation that Utah fans have, and it's primarily white.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's funny. You listen to the way both sides have reacted. Raymond Felton, Patrick mm-hmm. Patterson, his teammates. Have Russell's back,
yep.
and the people who were in ear view, if you will, have this guy's back.
Yeah.
I mean, so is it just as simple? All right, I'm going to side with the white guy because I'm white, and you know, the black teammate. I hope not, but
it's interesting.
It could be
because that's when it gets racial, not racist.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when it gets racial.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Because you're blindly siding, because not really knowing exactly what happened.
You know what's 100% agreed, and you know what's starting to get a little alarming. Before race was discussed so freely mm-hmm. on all these shows, now you have to, otherwise you're not doing your job.
Right.
You just ducking important stuff. And you and I have done this for years. I did this with Stephen A. I love doing this because I think it's very important. For years, this has been a part of my conversations. And I've never run from this. And the one thing I've always said, you know, whether it's a stereotypical joke about the white athlete, we have fun. I try to disarm with humor
yeah.
and knowing what lines I can't cross for sure. But the thing about the locker room, this is the irony of the situation, and you know better than me, you played in the pros, is that the locker room, you really don't see color.
No, you don't. Can you ball?
Are you a good guy? Can I run out of a tunnel? And can I trust that you have my back?
Oh, it is very off color in locker rooms.
And but it's not that way in the arenas anymore, and you're starting to feel it.
You're right.
And that's scary.
You're right.
That's not good.
No, I agree with you, BT.
All right, let's get some calls, see what you're thinking here. Let's go to Mark is first up in Wyoming, and Mark is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Mark, what's happening?
Yeah, hey, Brandon, Tiki, thanks for all that you do. Great show.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Mark.
I grew up in Valley Forge rooting for the Eagles. Nice. I would watch you, Tiki, and appreciate your professionalism.
Appreciate you.
I think this is a very simple matter. I think we blew it out of proportion. The professional athlete, his first name is professional. Mm-hmm. And a professional athlete, just like where you work and I work, you are not allowed to engage with the customer. Yeah. Bottom line is he should have ignored what he had to say or had one of the people on the bench who could contact security, give him a warning, get rid of him. I think this thing is so far out of line. You're never going to control what the fans say. So they get one warning. The guy stands there. The minute he does it again, you take him out. And then when you sell season tickets, you have on there, if you act up, blah, 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 you lose your privilege to watch the game. I think this just gets so blown out of – you are not going to police the fans.
Yeah, you can't. There's too many of them. There's too many diverse, I don't know, mindsets about how to engage with a game. That's a good call, Mark.
It's
a good
suggestion. Appreciate that call,
and
Mark.
That really is how this would have been diffused. Just point out – and again, it's on the road, so it's probably a little bit harder for Russell Westbrook to say to – an usher or whoever, this guy is heckling me, keep an eye on him, and maybe he gets forced out of the arena. But that's the way to do it.
And it shouldn't
be. The question is, how do you, you know, in real time, how do you make that happen?
Well, that's an interesting and it's a very important delineation that you point out there, because if he's playing in front of OKC fans,
right.
Even if there was like the one rogue Thunder fan or they're playing Utah in OKC and a rogue, you know, Jazz fan travels to OKC, Russ's relationships and familiarity with the security staff would be, you know, he would trust them enough to defuse it immediately. He would tell them, not have to beg them, or I'm not saying that the Utah security guards didn't do their job, but I'm sure that it's not quite, it's not snuffed out as quickly, or I shouldn't say I'm sure. I gather it's not snuffed out as quickly when it's the opponent who is, you know, looking for help or trying to get something defused as, say, if it was, you know, Ingles or somebody else on Utah, you know? Let's get Mike in California. Mike is on Tiki and Tierney. Mike, what's going on? How are you today, Mike?
Doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
So I don't have a problem with it. And I didn't have a problem when Westbrook corrected the kid. I don't like the fact that he threatened the wife. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sit well with me. Yeah. But I think that if we're going to allow athletes to take a social stance on various issues, I don't think that courtesy...
Let me correct you for one sec, Mike, and I promise I'll let you finish. Let's not make it seem as if we're bending over backwards. That is their civil liberty. Mm-hmm. And when you say we're going to allow social, athletes to have commentaries on social issues, it's their right as Americans.
Yeah.
It's not like we're granting them anything special. That's what you have when you live in our country.
And I totally agree.
Okay.
And without question, I don't have a problem, though, if a fan is going to sit in the audience and say things are inappropriate. I look at it from a different standpoint. If I was sitting in a restaurant and I heard somebody make a comment that was derogatory or inappropriate around my woman or around my family, around my parents, my nieces, whatever, I would get up and say something.
So would I.
I'm not going to allow it to happen.
Yeah.
So why was it any different for an athlete being on the court who decides to take a stance for what is civil and what is appropriate and what is inappropriate? Now, if he'd gotten physically violent, I would improve. I think that the comments of the wife, I don't approve. But I think that simply correcting bad behavior – we're so hesitant to do it in our society now that if they don't or if we don't, who will?
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with it.
It's a good, it's
another
a good
interesting
point,
call.
Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
You know, great point that you're making. And I think what's happened, and this is a little bit to Mike's point, he's like, I'm okay. And to an extent, I would be okay as well with an interaction, right? Just to go back to my days in Philly, when I play in Philly, these fans would be cussing and yelling and screaming at me and – you just say something witty to him or stupid or whatever, you know, like, okay, cut, get a haircut, right? You look like a slob, whatever, right? Probably something much more
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Colorful than that.
Of course.
But you just, you just engage.
Otherwise,
with
you got to work on your game.
And a threat.
You got to work on your schoolyard.
But in
game.
A non-threatening way.
Yeah, a disarming.
Yeah.
Get lost. It's a
exactly.
little bit of a banter,
right.
but at
that's
the end
why,
of the day,
that's why I'm down here
you.
And you're up
exactly.
there. Right. Good luck ever wanting to be. I can sit in that seat anytime I want. You can never be down here, right? Those type of things.
Yes.
But as soon as this got like malicious.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it crosses the line for a player.
But it always gets malicious with Russ, except with the little boy. That wasn't malicious. You and I disagreed on that too a little bit, but that wasn't malicious.
It was also emotional, but it wasn't malicious. It was a different kind of emotion.
Yeah, like, he was more in control. He was more aware it was a little boy.
But he reverted into this, all right, I'm going to use this moment to teach you something. It's going to be demeaning probably to your father more than you because you don't get it
uh-huh.
to the 10-year-old or sub-10-year-old, whoever it was.
Yep.
But
chastises
exactly. For, my emotion is going to direct me to have this conversation with you, kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different than he was last night in Utah. My emotion is going to make me have this, I don't know, lashing out at you and your wife because I feel so aggrieved, right? It's almost like he can't control his emotion, right?
But he has to.
It manifests itself in different ways.
But he's got to work on that.
Of course
he can't. And I know you're not doing this, but
we
can't just get on the air and say, you know, Russ is tightly wound. It's what makes him such a great competitor. It's why they want. I mean, come
but
on,
is.
Buddy.
You got.
I understand
it
that,
is.
But you've got to have a little separation between, you know, that fierceness that enables you to attack the rim and stuff it there, or try to, on a 7'1", 273-pound monster.
Yeah,
because you're just physically, you're not afraid of anything physically, but also able to understand. Hey, there's some rules I need to abide by.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't disagree with you.
Listen, nobody cares about me in the world outside of my family and you and our show, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not putting myself in the same position at all. But if we're at the Super Bowl and we're doing our show, like Minnesota, the Mall for America, right? The Mall of America, where there's everybody there. Danny, you suck. Yeah, Tinky's the best. BT, screw you. If I, like, throw up my finger or if I threw something at them or if I said something really,
right.
which I never would.
You're right.
Really, I might actually go up and engage them.
Yeah.
You know, I really would, like, and just, you know,
and
talk
by the
to
way,
them.
BT brings that example because the Mall of, we were open. We were up into the public.
We were vulnerable.
Yeah.
But it was great. I mean, nobody even knows me.
Usually at the Radio Row at the Super Bowl, you're not really vulnerable.
It's just you and the media.
You're right.
And the players and their handlers. My point being, if I did something. If I said exactly what Russ said, I guarantee Sean McManus and our radio bosses are going. I guarantee I'm suspended.
But what
if not fired?
But what if someone had said something? It's hard to say racist because
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
But that was that hit a non.
Let's say
like an Irish joke.
I know just that you know, doesn't bother me.
I know it doesn't, so I can't even find the example.
I know, like
you know
say
I mean?
Something about my wife. Or
yes, exactly.
It's hard to get a sense of how I would react to that now. It really depends upon what was said. It would have to be ridiculous for me to really get worked up, but I guarantee I wouldn't say what he said about his wife about the guy's wife.
I
might say it to the guy,
but it
can't say it to his wife.
You understand. What there's certain triggers in people.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You just say it, and it's whether it's the N-word or whether it's, you know, boy or, you know, go back, be a slave, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Even if that's just your interpretation of what he's saying, it just triggers you. You almost can't help yourself. You get triggered into this emotional state that you lose control. Russell Westbrook lost control, right?
Again.
He lost control. Of his emotions.
Again.
And that's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing. It's why, you know, if you just tuned in, I think you got to slap him with a suspension here. I'm not saying 10, 15. It's not like Ron Artest at the Palace. But, you know, Adam Silver is incredibly pro player. But this one, I think he's got to straddle a little bit of a different line here. And I think some people might disagree with that.
Even though it's just words?
Those words. You can't have one of the most visible stars in the sport threatening somebody's wife in an arena. Mm. Yeah, you just can't put up with that. 855-212-4227. We'll push back inbounds, out of bounds. Phones are lit. Reactions there. We'll get your calls after Rack, who's coming at you right now. His Rich. All right, we're going to get back to these NBA calls here. Russell Westbrook, Utah Jazz fans. Ugly stuff last night. But first up, time now for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Grainger. We take a look at the one who got it done this week, Lou Williams. The Clippers guard dropped in 34 in the blowout win over Boston. And in the process, Williams passed Dell Curry. Not Steph. Dell for most career bench points. Williams has seen his minutes shrink by over 6 minutes this year compared to last, but his production has him in the mix yet again for another Sixth Man of the Year award, which my boy, my guy Jamal Crawford had on lockdown for a couple years. JC, love that guy. But Lou Williams has really distinguished himself, turned into a really good pro, obviously. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and the industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Grainger.com. All right, no update yet on Le'Veon Bell in terms of specific with a team, but I do know the Jets said, hey, buddy, you know, we're putting a timeline on this because, quite frankly, you know, whether it's the Jets or somebody else, and this part of a problem with free agents, this two-day legal tampering is, you know, you get played by a guy, oh, I'm going to come. Mm-hmm. We've got the terms like Anthony Barr.
You're right.
And I don't begrudge Anthony Barr, change his heart, hadn't signed, you know, change of heart, hadn't signed his contract yet.
But still.
Pulled at the heartstrings, I'm going to go back to Minnesota, that's fine. But now, all of a sudden, the Jets move forward thinking that they had Anthony Barr, and a couple of guys are gone.
You're right.
That they could have gone and gotten instead of Anthony Barr.
They did get C.J. Mosley, though.
They did.
Which is good, and, you know, could be interesting for them. He's obviously an impact player.
High character guy.
But
great against the run.
Division with the Patriots, you use running backs out of the backfield.
That's true.
I mean, they could be a liability to an extent, but maybe... Look, every player every year knows what their weaknesses are. For your sake, BT, I hope you fix that.
If Greg Williams can't, nobody will. And I love C.J. Mosley.
Good point.
But think about this. Only the Jets would give a linebacker $85 million and like $18 million a year in a passing league, and he can't cover guys out of the linebacking spot. Only by Jets, huh? Hold on. I mean, I'm kind of teasing.
Yeah.
But C.J. Mosley's a player, and we'll see what happens with Lev.
Figure it out, kid.
Yep, figure it out. He's young enough to do that. Okay, let's get back to the calls. And, you know, if you just tuned in, obviously Westbrook is the story. I do believe, based on just, you know, optically, it looks terrible.
Mm-hmm. Horrible.
If there was no audio, no video of this, maybe I could look the other way. But if you're Adam Silver, you have no choice. You got to suspend them for a few games. Now, that doesn't mean that you absolve the idiotic, dopey fan for his end. Mm-hmm. He should get forever banned from the arena, whatever they want to do legally, if that's a possible course of action. But you just can't have one of the best players in the world telling a fan, I'm going to bleep you up and your wife.
You're right.
You can't have it. You can't. Unacceptable. All right, let's start. KC is in Arizona, and we got KC up now on Tiki and Tierney. KC, how are you today, KC?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good, man. What do you think about this?
I think he's out of line. That guy.
The fan or Westbrook?
Wife, the fan and his wife.
Yeah.
Or his girl.
Yeah.
It's just... So coming from someone who's on the court, running around, all that adrenaline's going through your head, you're going to come to sit down and you got to deal with that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Casey, let me ask you this. Don't you think, I mean, let's say this happened to Zion Williamson this year before he got hurt, right? Just I want everybody to ponder this for a second because I think this is my biggest problem with Russell
Casey.
Westbrook at this point.
Yeah.
You know, all right, Zion Williamson goes from YouTube, you know, superhero, incredible, freaky dunker to the ACC Player of the Year, number one overall pick eventually. But going from high school to college, now it's different in terms of the venue, the attention, the TV outlets that cover your games. Let's say he's at a particularly hostile venue. Say he's playing at NC State. Maybe he's at UNC, although I think UNC fans are too classy for that. NC State fans too.
Yeah.
But let's say he's not playing at Cameron Indoor. And he's playing somewhere in the ACC where the fans are really below board. Because he's never been exposed to this. Maybe he had a momentary lapse as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid who really is still learning to deal with the emotions of being a transitioning grown man.
Yeah.
Okay. Russell Westbrook's been in the NBA for a decade. You got to learn, man. You got
to
learn.
But isn't that what makes him who he is, though? That's the only thing to ponder from Russell's side. Like, you can't take away his edge. You just got to figure out a way to... I don't know how you do this with him.
What, to harness it more directly?
Well, no, just how to... Russ, it's not important.
I think you suspend them. I think that's maybe going to get the message through.
But
hey,
will,
Russ,
will
you
it?
Can't do... I mean, maybe. Because nothing else has worked so far.
I think it makes him defiant. If you suspend him, I think he's going to become more defiant.
He could. He could. I could see him being...
You know?
I could see him doing that. But maybe he says to himself, all right, maybe it's an aha moment. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But, you know, Silver just can't not do anything.
Do you think, I know this is the case. I know the answer to this question because he actually answered it in the clip that we heard. If he had to do it all over again, he'd do it again.
That's even worse.
A day later, because this happened last night.
Yep.
Do you think he still feels that way? Do you still think that he thinks he responded the right way.
I do, because I think he's incredibly authentic to himself, which is part of what makes him very likable.
Yeah.
But also that creates these fissures and these relationships that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it makes it polarizing.
Yeah, but polarizing not always in a good way.
You're right.
I mean, even the video when he slapped the phone out of the fan's hand in Utah, I got to be, and I don't know what the fan said, and maybe that's his window, I guess, to have the latitude to do that, but I thought that was an incredibly benign exchange. I thought he was so out of line doing that.
Yeah.
I watched the video again last night. I'm like, did that really merit slapping the phone? I don't think it did. Mike is here in New York, and Mike is on Tiki and Tierney. Mike, go ahead, buddy. What do you got?
Hi, BC.
Hey, what's up,
Mike? I also agree with you on the matter. I think he needs to be suspended. There's a certain level of professionalism that needs to be, you know, accounted for. During these types of things.
Yeah, but how do you make a guy ignore an emotional reaction when someone says something this bad to them? It's hard. It really is. You know, and especially because basketball is so intimate. I can't express how different this is than the NFL.
Yeah.
In the NFL, there is no real interaction.
The only thing worse would be if you're a golfer on the tee box and somebody in the gallery says,
someone standing right there.
Yeah.
Like, basically screaming in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that doesn't happen. Golf's a civilized game.
And God forbid you sneeze on the tee box. The caddy's going to wait in the in the car.
Get escorted out the court.
With a machete.
I mean,
how dare you breathe while my man is in his backswing.
Mike, you've been to NBA games, right?
Yes.
And it's intimate, right? You feel like you're... Like, the players are larger than life.
Part of the greatness of it.
It is. And they're even if you're in Philly, I was sitting like seven rows back from the court because there was three on the court and then there was three up in the stands. We were up in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
I still felt like I could like touch those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's great. It's tremendous.
And so how do you not engage with somebody who you feel like you can touch? And especially in this case, I think he like literally could touch the guy. You know what I mean?
You have an answer, Mike? Because I don't know that there is one.
Well, I worked in sales for a long time, and you get a lot of those people that are going to berate you, and they're right across a desk from you.
Yeah.
And you can't attack that person, verbally or physically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you have to be accountable for that, and I don't think Russell Westbrook is accountable for his own actions. I think he wants to be right, but he's not showing other people that he can be right.
You know what it is, Mike?
That's, he's going to go the other way.
That's a great point, Mike. He wants to be
Thanks,
right.
buddy.
He wants to be right,
mm-hmm.
but is he really?
Well, he's leading this revolution in terms of nothing to do with race. I know you kind of hear that word just a revolution of fan behavior, mm-hmm. like a recalibration of okay, what's acceptable and what's not.
We're
and
certainly talking about it a lot.
It's admirable,
it's really because of him.
It's admirable, but it's a two-way street. You have to comport yourself a certain way, and he doesn't always do that. And when he crosses the line, it marginalizes any good that he's doing.
Yeah, you're right.
And here's the
you're
other
right.
thing.
You're right, because how he handled the kid, even though we debated on whatever,
mm-hmm.
that was probably the right way to handle that, being touched
by
someone.
Yeah, I don't like that he made what he said to his dad.
Agreed,
but no,
agreed.
With the kid, he was definitely
was probably
he was
the right
soft
way.
With the young boy.
It was
boy.
Probably
yeah.
the right way.
Yeah.
This was the antithesis
this
of that.
This is ridiculous. This
you
is like,
know what I mean?
You see that kind of reaction waiting for you outside of the bar, you're like, I got to go out the other door, man. This guy's going to kill me.
You're right.
That's a scary reaction.
I agree.
And it's scary because you know that it's genuine.
It's escalating, though. You know, it escalates the situation as opposed to diffusing it. You know, and
it absolutely does. It throws gas on it. But you have to use common sense here. And this is not, Shane Kiesel. This is not absolving him from any wrongdoing, but I'm putting him in a separate file, admittedly, because at the end of the day, Shane Kiesel doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
What matters, and this is where Commissioner Stern's got to be, Silver's got to be smart enough to know this is business.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened last night in Utah is bad for business.
Yes.
And there's got to be a penalty.
That's right.
And I'd be very surprised if Russell Westbrook is not suspended. And quite frankly, I'd be very disappointed in Silver, who's been very good so far. Anybody agree? Let's go to Pat in Akron, Ohio. Pat is on Tiki and Tierney. Pat, what's going on, Pat? How are you today?
Not a whole lot, guys. How are you doing?
Awesome.
You're good, man. What do you think about this?
I think if you're going to suspend Russell Westbrook, you have to do something to the Utah organization because this is an ongoing thing at Utah.
Yeah.
You had J.R. Smith a couple of years ago say that it's not hard shooting free throws. It's hard playing in Utah when you have 20,000 people screaming the N-word at you.
Well,
it's every year.
Hold on, but Pat, first of all, that's ridiculous.
That's hyperbole.
Yeah, I would think that would lead SportsCenter and they would have to mute out the chance. Let's not overstate it. There's a lot of good fans in Utah, and there's some racist ones in Utah. Like, there's racist fans everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
it's being reported, too, that the security guard was actually standing by the guy when he was screaming at Westbrook.
Yeah, interesting.
The security guard, the Utah Arena security guard.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get his account.
Yeah.
Let's get his written account. I'm sure that they're working on this. What is he saying about it?
Yeah.
Did he say that he said something with the knees, or did he say something else?
Oh, it doesn't even matter, really. The security guard in this case, and maybe this is a retraining thing that needs to happen.
This always comes up when we talk about
this. At NBA arenas. Yep. It's a retraining thing.
It's unrealistic, though. They're not law enforcement. They don't have weapons.
It's not about being a law enforcement. It's about helping diffuse the situation.
Yeah.
Being like, okay, sir, I need you to calm down. I'm gonna ask you to leave your seat. If you can't, then you gotta go, because you're disrupting everyone else around you's enjoyment. Even though I don't know if they were enjoying it or not. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because they're Utah fans. They're probably enjoying Russ getting all worked up and, you know, not focused on playing basketball. But this to me sounds like a training issue for staff. If that is in fact the case, that the usher or whoever was standing right there and not doing anything, then I have a problem with him as
so
well.
So would I. Oh, 100%.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, then you could literally say he's probably lose his job because he's not doing his job.
You're right.
Or at least, you know, be suspended or maybe written up. If, you know, I don't want to lose his job. But
yeah.
Written up, put it on the file. If it happens again, then you lose your job. It should actually be, it absolutely should be acknowledged, no doubt. All right, free agency. Who hit a home run? Who whiffed? We'll hit the NFL coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.